courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So we'll be meeting for about an hour and a half, and we'll have three speakers on the same topic, followed by a Q&A session, so stick around for that. Rhonda from Texas, would you be willing to read the preamble on the screen?
Sure. Thanks for calling on me. I'm Rhonda Gratefully, an Al-Anon, and this is the preamble. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you very much for reading that. And we'll move on to the opening. Jerry from Montana, would you be willing to read the workshop opening, please?
Sure. I'm Jerry, grateful member of Al-Anon. Workshop opening. When I first consider reaching out to others, I might hesitate. Didn't I come to Al-Anon to focus on my individual experience to seek my own recovery? Wouldn't contributing to the common good just divert me from personal progress? After finally learning to focus on myself, wouldn't helping others distract me from that goal? In helping others, we drop any pretense that I alone am in charge of my separate recovery. We acknowledge the common bond that unites us in the program, and we take steps, however halting and uneven, to align ourselves with the guidance of a higher power. By passing on the guidance we have received, we learn a new humility. Still, we might find the concept of doing service daunting, difficult, or frightening. The word itself has as much appeal as duty, responsibility, commitment, or work. The thought of participating in any activity may call up our worst fears of experience all over again, the criticism, embarrassment, frustration, and even despair we have known in the past. Service and recovery are not independent from each other. Both are part of the spiritual awakening that continues to guide us. The more willing we become to practice all of this program, the more progress we can make in recovering from the effects of another's alcoholism and in living our lives more fully. We may not notice beyond our fears is that Al-Anon gives us a chance to either do a little or a lot. At first, we may experience some discomfort, but we can go at a pace that doesn't leave us overwhelmed. As we progress, we begin to notice the other side of service. We are learning and growing at an extraordinary pace. From when I got busy, I got better.
Thank you so much. Sandra, would you be willing to read our January reading?
Sure. Service was the last thing on my mind when I first attended Al-Anon. I felt so desperate and hopeless, I could barely see beyond my own pain. But as I kept coming back, I began to notice people preparing coffee, setting out literature, arranging furniture. This activity all seemed natural and spontaneous. No prompting, no directing. People did what they did because they wanted to do it. After the meeting, I saw them again rearranging furniture, putting away literature, helping out. Most important, I saw people greeting me, extending a hand, smiling, sharing a hug. At each meeting, I saw the same people doing the same things. But I also saw a newcomer pitching in. I noticed too that members took turns chairing the meetings and that everyone shared in the reading of the steps and traditions. These small gestures suggested to me the depth of caring and fellowship. I slowly started pitching in myself. Today, I see how my small gestures gave me a sense of belonging and encouraged me to reach out to others. My actions led me to focus on something besides my own self-pity and resentment and helped me embark on the road to recovery. When I began to feel good about myself, I could value my talents. The confidence others showed me was contagious. I came to believe that what I got from the program depended very much on what I gave. Gradually, I took on more responsibilities. I'm now a group representative, and this service has given me a special sense of caring for all the members of my group. Learning to take care of my responsibilities as a GR without taking on those of others has helped me in other situations and relationships. I've come to sense the miracle of a fellowship under one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. I ask myself, what part can I play in this fellowship? This is from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 10 to 11.
Thank you so much. So each of our three panelists will share for 15 or so minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly some brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So now I'd like to introduce our first speaker, who is Helene.
Hi, everybody. My name is Helene, grateful member of Al-Anon. And I guess a little bit of history. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and I learned very quickly not to speak out, not to get too involved, not to trust anything, and be very wary of people, because there was a lot of suspicion in my house, and somebody wouldn't just, you know, like you because you were you, because you know, there had to be some reason behind it or whatever. And I thought, you know, that's how people are. And so I kept to myself. I didn't say much. I was considered the lost child in the family. Didn't say anything, didn't speak up about what I needed we weren't really allowed to have opinions or feelings of our own. So that was all foreign to me. By the time I got to Al-Anon, you know, I was pretty shut down and very cynical and very suspicious. So in the first few meetings, I wondered what they were doing with the money and why 1 week somebody took it home and the next week somebody else. And why the president, who was chairing the meeting at the time, wasn't there the next week and somebody else was the president. So I didn't understand that at all. And so, you know, just suspicious. And I actually thought people were lying because they were talking about such intimate things in their life. And that was just so foreign to me. So, you know, that's how I came to you. And that's how, you know, Al-Anon has worked for me in that regard. The good news is I stayed in Al-Anon and I watched, you know, and I watched people like our reading that, you know, came early and they set up chairs or they invited me to put out the books or to make the coffee or whatever. It was just a personal invitation, you know, no pressure or anything. And, would you be willing to put these chairs over here or whatever? And I thought, yeah, I can do that. And so I was personally invited. You know, I love the line, the confidence others showed me was contagious. So I also saw these people and admired how they were in their life, how they were able to express themselves and how they maybe were troubled with a coworker and they wrote something to some person and somehow that conflict was resolved or they prayed about it and something changed or they, you know, wanted to change jobs and they, you know, talked about it for weeks in the meeting and then were able to do something different. And so anyway, it was very attractive to me. I couldn't really say what it is that I felt in the meetings, but I felt something different than what I felt at home. and from most of the other people that I attracted or was hanging around or whatever. So I was also full of fear for, you know, I didn't want to chair a meeting. What if I did it wrong? What if I read the paper wrong? What if I don't know, you know, didn't pass the basket at the right time? I'd probably get kicked out or something, you know, just so full of fear around, because I'm sure there's, you know, a black and white way to do this. And, you know, and then you go to a different meeting and they do it a little bit different. And oh my gosh, don't they know you're supposed to pass the basket this time, not that time? It's just so, you know, it was just so crazy at the time what went on in my head around all that stuff. So again, I just stayed. I stayed and I watched and I started getting involved. And the first thing was they asked me, somebody personally asked me if I wanted to be part of a group. And I think I was an alternate something. I can't even remember what it was. It was quite a while ago. And I never really had to do anything, but I was the alternate. And I felt something different because that meeting all of a sudden took on a special place in my heart. Like I had to go to that meeting because I was the alternate. Like I owned my chair, you know, and I also probably moved from the outside of, you know, how some meetings they have to have a circle around a table and maybe then a wider circle if it's a big meeting. I started out in the East Coast and I took the chair on the inside and that made a difference. Like I was part of something. And then I think I was invited to a convention and there were thousands of people. And I thought, this is crazy. How can they all be doing Al-Anon? You know, how could that be that they're all affected by alcoholism? It was just, I was just blown away by some of that. So over my time in Al-Anon, I have actively participated in Al-Anon because I know that this is what works for me and that I need to stay in the middle. I need to stay in the middle of all of it. So even I'm a snowbird down in Arizona for 6 months. And I heard early on that being a snowbird is not an excuse for service. So like, awesome. I could do something even for my district, even if it's just seasonally. So I did that, you know, public outreach, and I'm a GR for my home group here. And so over the years, a lot of those fears went away. I don't have to be suspicious of people. People like me just because, you know, they don't have to have a reason. They don't want to borrow money from me or anything like that. You know, like I thought of when, from my family system that somebody must want something from me. And I'm kind of known as the one who now personally invites people to be part of something. I think that makes a huge difference in my home group in Montana. They call it getting Helene'd because I personally asked somebody, hey, do you want to come and be part of this committee? Or would you like to help with this workshop? Or would you be willing to read this? You know, and because that's what somebody did for me. They personally invited me and they said, come on in, you know. Now I could have said, no, I'm not ready, or no, get away from me, or get lost or whatever, but I didn't. There was a loving kindness to that. And people are so welcoming. And, you know, the more service I do, the more interesting it gets because of all the different people that you get to meet. I actually enjoy working on committees because, you know, there's always some difficult thing that goes on and it's a challenge and it's kind of exciting now. I'm not so scared about it anymore. And I need to learn how to work with difficult people. And so I've taken a lot of the tools that I've learned in Al-Anon and used it in parenting, used it in our business because there's people everywhere, apparently, and I got to deal with them, you know, even somebody at the grocery store, the tire shop or whatever, right? There's people. And so service has given me that, first of all, I know who I am. I have a sense of belonging. I know where I end and you begin, and that I can be just one among people. And, you know, lots of times, you know, especially this year, you know, when there's a disgruntled person, like say in the grocery store, maybe just looking for a fight, like not wearing a mask or something like that, whatever, you know, I can just say, oh, you know, they might be suffering. You know, they don't, I don't know what's going on in their life, you know, and I just have more, I guess, compassion for people around that. And that has come from the service too, when there's like, you know, heated discussions at business meetings or roundup, you know, committees. It, I don't know, sometimes it's really exciting because guess what? I know how to detach now. You know, I took everything personally in my family system. When my dad said that was the law and that's how it went down the line, and us kids just scattered and we were scared most of the time. And we were had, what was the word I heard the other day? Some anxious confusion. That's what an alcoholic family system did for me. And I don't have that anymore. I'm not confused anymore. And I'm willing to try lots of different things with service. And I know it's helpful to other people too. The more, like the reading said too, the more I give, the more I get back, whether that's sponsoring somebody or sometimes in a meeting in my home group in Bozeman. Well, when there was face-to-face, remember that way long ago, you know, when I'm chairing a meeting, I ask a newcomer, would you like to sit right here next to me and read this portion? You know, so then they're invited to read it. I'm right next to them. And then here they are a couple of weeks later, maybe chairing the meeting themselves or something like that. So just that invitation. And that's really priceless to be able to give to somebody else, because somebody was there for me. Somebody invited me and somebody cared enough to greet me or, you know, acknowledge me when I was in the meeting or thank me for my service, you know, and it wasn't that big of a deal. What I was doing was not gigantic. Nobody's asked to do something tremendous, you know, and it's nice to be able to have other people. If I'm in a position that's new to me, that I can ask the previous person. And yeah, it can just be a real challenging thing to be able to do in recovery. And I want to remain teachable. So I don't care how long I'm here. If I'm not teachable, I'm probably not going to be here anymore. So I want to be able to be teachable and learn some new things. And I can always better what I'm doing, whether it's, you know, making a motion or bringing up a topic, at a business meeting, and then it doesn't go the way I think it should or whatever, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And I guess the other part in service for me is that I see my higher, I see higher power working in my life. When I was Alateen coordinator, and it just kind of laid out in front of me. I didn't have to do a lot of work. I could just pray about it and say, where am I supposed to go with this Alateen part? And there again, a sense of, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a trusted servant, and I've got a job, and I can just do the best that I can. So I invite anybody who isn't in service or is hesitant or something to just try something really small. And it's remarkable what it can do for you personally. And I've gained so many different skills, and I can keep gaining them. So that's my time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helene. So our next speaker is, I think it's Gene, right?
Yeah. Gene tapped me on the shoulder once and asked me to speak at one of her events she was organizing. So I have experience. So earlier this week, I read a section on fellowship, and one of the first things that popped in my mind was, before Al-Anon, I did everything. You know, I worked, I got up, I cleaned, I did the yard, I grocery shopped, I did this, and I did it all. I was just the lone hero. And I remember one time my mother had us over for dinner, and I came straight from work. And I didn't hear anybody say hello. Well, my mom did. but the kids, kids' mom. First thing they said, well, I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that. I don't know why that came up when I read that page, but it did. But I think what it came up was insanity. My life was insane. I felt like the ATM machine. I felt like I had to do it all. And it was insanity. But then when I married the alcoholic, we had a lot of good years. Actually, I was thinking about that. We had a lot of good years and we did a lot of fun things, but it grew more and more, into the same thing. Her drinking picked up and she wanted more and more and more. It just got insane. She started going to AA and still got insane. The isolation, the loneliness, the craziness. Those are things that came up when I was reading this. Why? Because so much has changed. From that event, I grabbed a therapist. Therapist told me about Al-Anon. So I went. I was reflecting on this a little bit. Yeah. The first meeting I went to, and I was sharing with an Al-Anon friend earlier today. As a newcomer, I was greeted with warmth. I was able to sit in the corner and hide out. I was able to listen. And the service, I didn't realize it at that time, but that was service to treat me with warmth. I felt welcome. So I came back and I did what they suggested. I worked my ass off. I was looking quick and look, I needed a sponsor. I got to go find a sponsor. And while I was doing that, I started helping out at meetings. It was contagious. It was uplifting because meanwhile, I still felt very lonely. Somebody asked me, you want to go to the convention? A car was full. I roomed with somebody, but I felt alone. I was so lonely, but it was not anybody else's fault but mine. Everybody reached out to me. Gene, join us for lunch. Come for dinner. It was just fantastic. What a gift. Now, the other gift of going to that first convention is I got cornered and asked to serve on the following convention. And so I became the treasurer. Now I'm brand new. What do you do? I got to see so many wonderful things during that experience. Again, I'm pretty darn new. I saw, during the convention, I saw acts of kindness that I received, serving on the convention. I got to learn how to watch and listen and keep my mouth shut more. I got to see other people's recovery. I got to see other people's higher power. I got a chance to discover more about my higher power. I got to feel something I never felt before. Nobody asked me for all kinds of ridiculous things that I had been used to. I was able to participate with a group of people for a common purpose. Participate with a group of people for a common purpose. I always felt I had to do it alone. I'm starting to learn I don't have to do anything alone. I saw a lot of conflict. That committee had a lot of conflict. But I saw humility through that. I got to see hope because people were able to discuss and reason things out. How many times when I was in conflict before Al-Anon, hinges were coming off the door because it was slammed so hard. It was craziness. I have had to replace deadbolts. I've had to replace handles, hinges, doors. It was crazy stuff. Never saw that here. Conflict, complaining, but discussing and reasoning things out. Service. One of the things I like about service, it was a distraction for me. I got distracted. You might say, I guess the word would really be called detachment. but I got distracted from my problems. I didn't have to deal with them for a moment. So when I returned to the problems, I got to deal with it with a fresh mind. I didn't have to deal with it. I didn't have to stay in my head. I got to go and participate with people who were working on their own selves as well. The fellowship is so important. Service has helped me learn more about recovery. It's helped me learn more about myself. And it teaches me I don't have to just focus on my problems. I think one of the other things that I think of is what service has also taught me is I'm part of something greater than myself. I think of going to a football game. I'm at field level, the marching band comes down, comes out, and they start playing. Now, when I'm on the field, all I hear is noise and people running around all over the place. As I walk up the stands, I start hearing the tune. I walk up a little bit more, comes on clear, and then I turn around and I see this beautiful picture being formed. Services help me see that I am part of something. And together we can accomplish a lot. I'm learning to turn that around in my personal life. I think about my relationships with my kids. I think about my work, how I work with clients. I've become a little bit, well, I got a lot of work to do. You know, what I'm saying I've become, I'm still working on it. And a little bit better of a listener. I'm learning about obedience to the unenforceable. I'm learning so much about how to live. I'm learning about my heart. I'm learning how to have a voice without blaming and implicating. There's so much that I learned in the fellowship, and service helps me do that because I get to practice these things. I get to look at these things more deeply with you and everybody I work with. One of the beautiful things I like in different types of service, I get to see how people do things and I get appalled sometimes, but I also learn that it's just a different way. I get to learn the steps and the traditions and concepts all over again. I learn that I'm powerless over others. I learn to let people find their own higher power in my relationships. I learn to allow people to make mistakes. I learn to be available. There's so much that I get to learn through the fellowship. I get so grateful. I was at a business meeting recently where I got to witness dominance. And I was able to speak up and just say, well, you know, we're not in a, because you know, this person was responding to everything. And that person's a friend of mine. That's how beautiful service has been. I could speak up and say, well, I don't think it's appropriate. But we're friends. We go camping, we go hiking, we do stuff together. Service has given me that opportunity to develop different kinds of friendships. I learn how to love differently. Somebody once said, maybe I shouldn't say this, but probably not, but I get to learn how to love differently. and that's amazing. You know, when I talk about learning what's in my heart, it's part of that process of learning how to love differently. And I'm learning, you know, everybody is different and special. How many times before Al-Anon that this is the way I did it. This is the way it has to be done. This is when it has to be done. This is how it has to be done. Now, we have guidelines and we have responsibilities. I learn about responsibility. Part of my responsibility is if somebody's given a task, allow them to do the task and not do it for them. So I think this is really why I did everything before Al-Anon. I didn't need to do everything. I remember my daughter moved back in the house and she left her clothes out, the dishes out, and this, that, and I, what that frustration. Well, I don't know. Something happened. I stopped getting frustrated, at least outwardly. And I learned to take care of my dishes. And if somebody was coming over or something was going on, all I had to do is say, somebody's coming over. Do you mind taking care of your stuff? I didn't have to get mad. Why didn't you do it now? You know, I wanted it done at 1:30. Why do you have to do it at 10 the next morning? Okay, I still get frustrated with my son on that. But anyway, but he does. He does, starts taking care of things. I don't have to badger him. I don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. And I just tell him we got somebody coming over. Boom, action. I'm no longer cracking the whip. I am communicating with them with the respect and dignity they deserve. By allowing others to do what they need to do, I think I gain a little bit more respect. So we have mutual respect and carrying on that dignity that we deserve. The fellowship. I get to watch and learn. And I get to practice and learn more about gratitude and love. And for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. And our last speaker is Linda from Kentucky.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad I'm here tonight. And I want to thank Helene and Gene for their sharing. One more time, it reminds me the language of the heart is the same everywhere we go. And that's such an awesome feeling. I'm going to qualify myself as a member of Al-Anon. I grew up in a family that I thought was an all-American family. Our home life was very structured and very consistent. My mother and daddy were married 55 years when they both passed away in 2004. About 20 years ago, when my mother was going through cancer treatment, the image and the thought I had of my growing up years was drastically changed because my grandmother started letting secrets out. And I found out that my mother's father was an alcoholic, a very rough, mean drunk. I never saw that man like that. I think my grandmother kept that part of it hidden. And I found out that my daddy's mother was an alcoholic. Then I discovered that both of my parents were adult children of alcoholics. And that was a big reality for me because then it began to make parts of the puzzle begin to fit. But that's information I never had. It was a big, dark secret, and my mother would have been just as happy to take it to the grave with her. She got very upset with my grandmother, but all of those things took care of themselves before she passed away. I married my husband, and we are a blended family. Between us, we have six children, three of his, two of mine, and one of ours. We have 19 grandchildren. So I get a lot of practicing the principles of this program from the smallest to the oldest. when we married, or when we met, my husband told me he was in recovery. And I thought, no big deal. I'll take care of that, because I didn't know what that was, because I didn't have all that information. And at that time, I thought he was so fun. We had the greatest time, and we ended up getting married. And shortly after we were married, we were moving to Texas. That's where his job was. And we went to Lake Jackson Clute area in Texas. And we were already into the crazies, and I'd never heard of a dry drunk before. I knew nothing about alcoholism because I didn't grow up in active alcoholism. So when I was getting this information, I didn't know where to put all that stuff. So we were in Texas, and at about 9 years sober, he went to treatment. And the counselor there called and said, if you're going to stay in this marriage, you're going to need to go to Al-Anon. And I listened to him, and I said, thank you very much. And I hung up. And my husband came home from treatment, and he was very active in meetings. He was active when I was dating him. He was active when we first got married. He just had that underlying anger, restless, irritable, and discontent. And I thought it was all about me. And I took everything personal, and I didn't know what to do with any of it. So it was about a year after he came home from treatment that the thought of Al-Anon had come up again, because I didn't know what to do, but I remember what that counselor had said. So I went to a couple of Al-Anon meetings, and I didn't feel like I qualified, because the ladies there were much older than me. And today I'm one of those much older in our groups at home. So they were talking about their husbands and all the years they had spent with their drinking, wasting money, all that bunch of stuff. And I couldn't identify with that, because that was not even a part of my story. Things at our home were very tense and everything, but that didn't equal up what they were talking about. So I made a couple of three meetings at different groups there, and I didn't go back for a long time. And I woke up one morning, well, I'd been going to open AA meetings with my husband, and I would see this group of Al-Anon members walk in. I didn't know they were Al-Anon at that time, but they were just kind of like in a group. And they all looked so happy, and they would come over and they'd speak to me, and they'd give me a meeting schedule and some literature and invite me to an Al-Anon meeting. And it was still a period of time before I showed up at one of those meetings. So things were still tense, hard, and I thought I was losing my mind. So I went to an Al-Anon meeting, and I had made a decision that I was going to make six meetings close together before I made a decision, because that's the first time I'd ever heard that suggested in a meeting. The other meetings that I went to, I didn't hear that. Also in this meeting, I heard about the three C's. You didn't cause it, you can't control it, and you can't cure it. I just took a deep breath, because that was news to me, and I'd never heard that before. So at that particular time, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to make six meetings, and then I would revisit this. At that third meeting, I heard exactly what I needed to hear. There was a lady that was sharing her story, and it could have been my story, because it so resembled. They were there from someplace else. They had a blended family. You know, this was her second husband, and he was in recovery. Now she was in recovery, and that's what I wanted. So I made those six meetings. And I was given the book, How Al-Anon Works for Family and Friends of Alcoholics. And there were two phrases in that book that really stood out at me and gave me a sense of I needed more information. And one of those phrases that I'm talking about was I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget it. There were two statements, and one of them was, I remember waking up feeling ambitious and waking with excitement for my day, having tons of energy. I don't know when all of that slipped away. Now it's all I can do to get out of bed. I didn't see it coming. I just slowly lost touch with that part of me that was able to care, and I don't have a clue how to get it back again. And then the other one was, I never knew the alcoholic until he had been sober for many years. In my case, it was almost 5 years. Yet I find myself obsessed with his behavior, affected by his every mood, and increasingly unable to act on my behalf. Could this have anything to do with alcoholism? Well, I still didn't have all the pieces of the alcoholism thing put together. I still didn't know how Al-Anon was going to bring all of that stuff to me, but I was interested. I loved what I'd heard. I loved what I'd felt. So I was interested. So when I was sitting in those meetings and I would listen to other people share, I would hear them talk about their sponsor and I would hear them talk about service and what they were doing. I did not ask those questions because at that point, I didn't want you to know that I didn't know. So see, I was still having some of those defects of character. So I had been going for several weeks now and listening. And I bought the book, the green book, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. And that's what I worked my first fourth step out of. I got an ODAT book, and I also got the book, The Dilemma of the Alcoholic Marriage. And that was enlightening to me. So in that information, I learned about what the sponsor was. So I was observing who I thought I wanted to be my sponsor. And there was this one lady, and she was bright, cheery, and bold. I mean, bold. And I thought, well, she's not the one I want. But she had way too much knowledge. So I would come to that meeting just enough time to get in before the Lord's Prayer or the Serenity Prayer. And as soon as they said amen with the Lord's Prayer, I was out of there. And she met me, this bold lady met me one evening, and we have two doors, one goes in and one goes out. And she met me and she said, if you would stick around just for a few minutes and get to know us so we can get to know you, you might get better. And that ticked me off. And she became my sponsor. So we began a communication relationship with each other. And I learned so much from her. And she told me, she said, you can call me anytime. Because I'd heard other people say in those programs, don't call me before 9 o'clock. And after 5 o'clock, I don't take phone calls. And after 5 o'clock, so my life got crazy. So she told me, she said, crises don't happen 9 to 5. So anytime you need me, give me a call. And that gave me such freedom for that. I don't think I called her at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but maybe a couple or two, three times. But other than that, I could wait to the daylight hours. but she was always there for me. She always had the message that I needed, and she was 100% Al-Anon program. Now, she was all about service, and she kept trying to pull me in, and I kept telling her, I don't have time for service. And number one, I didn't really know what service was. I didn't know that setting up a meeting and putting out literature and making coffee was classified service. I just thought that's what you did when you were part of that group, sitting there for a meeting. So I didn't get in service while I was in Texas. It was all I could do with all the kids, keeping up with the job, making meetings for myself. So I did not get into service. And we had been in Texas probably about 3 years, and we were moving back to Bowling Green. That's where both of our families were from, and that's where my husband thought we needed to be. And my heart just broke. I thought, I am just now getting to that place. I don't want to do this. And it was kind of like, well, we are doing this. So off we go back to Kentucky. And when I was talking to my sponsor about it, she said, when you get there, just get into a meeting. And I promised her I would. So when we got back to Kentucky, we got settled and everything. I did. I went to a meeting, and it just about drove me nuts because they didn't do anything like they did in Texas. And I had never been to an Al-Anon meeting in Kentucky, so I had nothing to gauge it by. And I could not wait to get home and call and tell her, it's not the same. They don't do it the same way here. This is not like the meeting. And she asked me a couple of three questions like, you know, how they welcome the newcomer. Do they read the steps? Do they talk about the traditions? And of course they did. She said, you're going to be okay. So I called her several weeks after that to complain about the way they were doing this meeting. And when we talked years later, she said, you know, if you came back to Lake Jackson or Clute, you all would say, what happened to you all? You don't know how to do meetings anymore. So that was kind of humorous. So I started doing service in that group because now I knew it was service. I would get there early. I would set up the chairs, set out the literature, make the coffee, and everything was ready for the meeting. But also it gave me some time to talk to the other members there that were coming in for that meeting. I was born and raised in that area, but I didn't know any of these people. And so they were a new circle for me. Central Kentucky was getting ready to host one of our Al-Anon conventions. The first one for us in Central Kentucky. And there was a gal there that had been on that host committee for quite a while, but she was having to move out of state because of her husband's job. So she had invited me to this Sunday afternoon meeting with some Al-Anon members. And I thought that sounded really great. I thought I'd like to do that. So I rode over there with her and four or five others. And, you know, today I would say it was a setup. So we get there and the host committee's in progress. And they asked me if I would consider taking this lady's job because she was being moved. Well, I asked those important questions. What do I have to do and how long is it going to take? So my only job was to put a stamp on an envelope, put a flyer in an envelope, and mail it. And I thought, I can do that. I can do that. So I agreed to do that. So, but when I was sitting there in that first host committee meeting, I loved the fellowship. I loved the laughter. I loved hearing them talk about recovery. The excitement about this convention, the unity of the group. I love that because I had never experienced that. And I couldn't wait for the next meeting. So when we did that convention, I felt such gratitude that I had been such a small part of that. And I said yes and not no. Shortly after that, I was asked if I would finish out this gal's term as GR. Well, I had no idea what a GR was, but I had just done the host committee. So I thought, sure, I can do this. And then after I agreed to it, then I got the information about what this GR is really supposed to be doing. And so I did that fill in for about a year and a half. So when that term was up, they asked me if I would let my name stand for my own term. So I ended up being GR of that group for almost 5 years. And I learned so much. And I learned about the steps, traditions, and concepts. I learned how to listen and be a part of without managing and directing, mothering and martyring, because that's what I was good at. That's what I had practiced for so many years. So at the end of that term, I became the DR. And that was a whole different thing. Not quite as calm as GR, because we would go to the area assemblies. And when you're a GR, you don't get as much in the area assemblies as the DRs do. And they can kind of get very argumentative and it can get very heated. And now what part of that excited me? But I thought that was so cool and I wanted to be a part of it. So I did the 3-year term as DR. At that assembly that fall, they were doing elections. And my sponsor always said, you don't have to commit to anything. You just need to be willing. So they asked me if they always start with, you know, like the delegate, the chairperson, and go on down, you know. They asked me if I would be willing to let my name stand for delegate. I didn't know a lot about the delegate. I really wanted to do group records. That's what I thought I really, really wanted to do. So right off the bat, I was elected delegate for the state of Kentucky. And I had no clue what I was in for. I was overwhelmed. My heart was beating so fast. I thought, oh my goodness. But I had other past delegates that were in that room that said, we will help you. We will guide you. We will give you information. You're going to do great. You are going to do great. So being delegate is probably the best job description I ever had in Al-Anon, besides being a member. That was such an experience. I was on the literature committee all 3 years that I was delegate, and I learned so much about our literature. And we did conference calls during our time off at between the March to March or April to April, we did time off and we did conference calls because we were working on a new piece of literature called relationship in alcoholic relationships. It escapes me now, but it's the new book on alcoholic relationships. And I can't even remember the title of it, but that was so cool being on the ground level of that. Because we decided that there were different relationships other than an alcoholic relationship. There's a relationship with ourselves. It's a relationship with the God of our understanding. It's relationships with the people we sponsor. It's relationships with our children. And it just got bigger and bigger. And when that book was finished and was for sale, it was a grand feeling, and it was presented at the Al-Anon International 1 year. And it was such a feeling to know that I had had a part of that. And I went on after I was delegate. I walked into the chairperson position because in Kentucky, that's the way it is. You're delegate, you're automatically chairperson. And that was a toughie. And I really had to practice the concepts and the traditions with that one because there's always that group wants to know why and how and when, and you're trying to keep your composure and keep everything on schedule. So I finished that 3-year term and I decided, I think I'm gonna take a break because that had been some really deep service. So I convinced myself that God was gonna give me a break. So we had a literature distribution center in South Central Kentucky, and this lady has had it for like 15 years, and she was getting older. And she was having a hard time with orders and making deposits and being sure everything matched up. And for a couple, 3 years, when we would have a district meeting, we would talk about this, that we need to do something because pretty soon she's not going to be able to do any of this. But nobody wanted to touch it. They just, they didn't know how to go about it without upsetting her. And she reminded me so much of my grandmother. I'd love this lady. And I woke up one morning and it was like God said, this is the day. So I called her and we were talking and I said, I think I'm going to come and visit you today. And she said, well, I reckon that would be okay. And I said, you know, when I come, we're probably going to pack up the literature and we're going to bring it back to Bowling Green. Well, I reckon that's okay. So in less than 2 hours, my husband and I rented a truck and we were headed to pick up this literature. And when we got there, she had already started packing it up. And my husband finished helping her pack it up. And we were on our way to Bowling Green with all that literature. And when we got home with it, they said, how in the world did you arrange that? I said, it was a God deal. It was smooth as silk. There was no problem. And when we brought it back, it's like, where are we going to take it? Because we hadn't talked about that. Well, guess who is the chairperson for the LDC in Bowling Green? Me. It's in my house. So I get to take orders. I get to work with WSO.
Linda? Yes. 2 more minutes, honey. Let me get a wrap up. 2 more
okay.
minutes.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I've got so much more I want to share. So anyway, I learned how to do conflict resolution, and I love being the LDC. But, you know, every position in Al-Anon that I have served has been such a gift. I've learned so much about me. I've learned so much about the fellowship. And so when she told me that, everything else just went out the window. But I am so glad to be here. And I so love what I've already heard. And it's good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda. I am going to turn this over to our moderator to use the rest of the time to get your questions answered. So take it away, Ricky.
Okay, I'm back. Great shares, everybody. Thank you so much for saying yes when you were asked to speak on this topic. And the question for Helene, did you have a sponsor before you started serving in your home group as an alternate?
I started service work before I had a sponsor, and then I was invited, you know, with sponsorship through different service positions. So you can do it anytime. You know, as a sponsor, I highly encourage the women I work with to sponsor. And lately, you know, I was going to say on Zoom, right? A year ago, this is all new and everything. Well, now there's other service positions. In my home group in Montana, there's 50 women, and we have to have a host, a co-host, and a chairperson every week. So that's a lot of people, and they don't want to hear from the same people all the time. So just encouraging people to step up. So you can do that anytime. But other people encourage me, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Lane. This one is for Linda. Have you ever needed or taken a break from service?
No. Once I started service, I am a service junkie. The people I sponsor get into service. I love service. It has changed my life, and why I was so resistant to it, I have no idea, but nope, I love service.
All right, I'm going to give one to all three of you. How have the rewards of service spread into other areas of your life? We'll start with Jean.
It's interesting. I think about, you know, I got into service and, you know, I've served in a lot of different positions. And each time I got, I call it the rubber hammer. Yeah, you know, when I, whether it be the GR and I'm working way up and all these service positions, I mean, I don't need to do that. But, and I say no, and I've said no, and then I said no. And I, after a while, I learned to listen more to my higher power. I think the service position I have now, I knew I wanted to do something. I didn't know what it was, so I just stood. And I figured, okay, well, if it's meant to be, God will happen. So how does it help me in all my, I think part of what I shared earlier was how it helped me in all my affairs. One of the biggest things is it helps me with my serenity because it has taught me, it continues to teach me more, a better ability to listen to others and listen to my higher power. And through that connection, I get more serenity. And through that connection, I sometimes talk to people a little bit more reasonably. I'm more patient. Well, a little bit more patient. So it's helped me a lot. Thanks.
Thanks, Jean. And Helene, how have the rewards of service spread into other areas of your life?
So I definitely learned how to practice the principles in all my affairs, right? So I was fortunate to be in Al-Anon before I had kids, and I used a lot of the principles, actually a lot of the traditions in my parenting with my kids. And my husband's in recovery too. So we had a lot of group conscience meetings, and there was three of them. So they kind of outnumbered us. And we had to go with some things, you know. So parenting and with a business that we have to, and in my marriage, dealing with aging parents, dealing with the next generation of alcoholics with my nieces and nephews, even some deaths in the family, all of those. I mean, it's helped so much. It is really, truly a design for living. I have a voice in a lot of things. Recently, I guess with my mother, my brother and sister were gonna tell my mother, or they wanted to get my mother to have somebody come in and quote, take care of her for 3 days a week, which she does not want. And they were going to tell her, actually lie to her and say that Medicare would pay for it. Like that would entice her to do it. And they thought that was, you know, the thing that they needed to do for my mother. And that's not what my mother wanted. And I was the one that was able to say, you know, I will not participate in that. And that it's her money. She has a right to know, and it's not what she wants. And, you know, it just didn't matter what, I guess what they were trying to coerce or whatever, that I was able to speak up about that. And I felt good about that, that I wasn't going to lie about it with my mom, and that she's fully capable of living on her own. It was just more them based on their fears and things like that around that. So yeah, in every area, I've been able to do that. Thanks.
Thanks, Elaine. And Linda?
Well, when you have six adult children and they're married, that automatically gives you 12, and then 19 grandchildren, you know, I can use the traditions and the concepts on all of them. And they know that their mom and dad, or me and grandpa, are very much in recovery. July of 2020, I've been in Al-Anon 35 years. This past March, my husband celebrated 45 years. And Saturday, my husband and I will be married 37 years. And we do recovery. And I love to see the gals that I sponsor when they were resistant to get into service, how they just bloom. And, you know, they're enjoying the benefits of service. So to me, that just makes everything bigger, brighter, wilder. I love it. So it just changes your life. And I am so grateful that my higher power put me in the rooms of Al-Anon and the people I've met, the things I've got to do. It's just a God thing. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for Jean. What literature would you recommend if I wanted to learn more about service positions and the importance of service for Al-Anon and for your recovery?
Literature. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I know when I became GR, and when you pull up on the WSO site, all the guidelines and what you're supposed to do, one of the first things they said is get a service sponsor. And it was with my service sponsor that I was able to pick the literature. We started with the service manual. And then we went to Reaching for Personal Freedom. Mm-hmm. And we go, when I got busy, I got better. The service manual gave me more knowledge. And because we work it together, I got to hear my service sponsors experience strength and hope and how the concepts worked in service and in the service sponsor's life. Reaching for Personal Freedom, I got to learn more again about the concepts and the traditions and a review of the steps and how they all apply together. I don't think there's any literature is good literature. Me keep the focus on the principles of the program. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean. Okay. This is another one for Helene. How have you learned to find the balance with work, kids, partner, and service?
Okay. So I didn't do a lot of service when my kids were little. I had a three-year-old and then we had twins. So that was my service job for quite a few years. I guess I listened a lot to my higher power, and you know, I was raised to be a human doing, and workaholism would have been my drug of choice. So I had to be really careful with that. And you know, even you know, I didn't sponsor people when my kids were little. That was, you know, remember back when we had phones that didn't, you couldn't walk across the room with, they were on cords, you know, those old things. And, you know, I couldn't be on the phone when I had little kids at home. And so there were times in my life that I could do more. And I don't know, I guess I learned a lot of that balance through, looking at how, what is it that makes my worth, you know, and it's not what I'm doing or getting a list done or something like that. A lot of it is through prayer too. I don't just jump on service positions anymore. I don't want to hog stuff or keep stuff for longer than I'm supposed to have it. And I can't say yes to everybody that asks me to sponsor them. that's not really fair to other women because they might need to sponsor somebody too. And how can I keep track of, you know, 20 women? That's a lot to keep in mind. So, you know, I'm semi-retired, so I can do a lot more now and when my, now that my kids are grown too. But yeah, I had to be of service to myself and to my family first. Otherwise I wasn't really very good in service anyway. So I think a lot of prayer. Thanks.
Thanks. And Debbie B has agreed to share her experience, strength, and hope for 2 minutes on this topic of fellowship.
Thank you for asking me to share. When I heard the beginning, a sense of belonging, and I got to thinking about that's what Al-Anon has given to me through service. You know, I came from a family where there was a lot of drinking and that affected me. And I felt from that point on that I didn't even feel like I belonged in my own family. I was kind of like on the outskirts. So when I finally, many years later, got into Al-Anon, I found that it was a place that I, for the first time in my life, I felt I belonged. And I felt that it offered me something that I had not found elsewhere. And so, of course, you know, I, you know, kind of my first service thing was to just get in a car and go to a meet, you know, go to an assembly. I didn't even know what an assembly was. And then shortly after that, I became a group representative. But it was that camaraderie, that sense of belonging. You know, I could easily take over. Not only has service helped me, it has also shown me that I don't have to do everything. I remember I was living in West Virginia and I had just gotten into service. And then my husband's job moved us into Pennsylvania. And I just remember feeling kind of out of sorts because I didn't have a service position because I came like in the middle of a panel and all the service positions in my group were taken. And I really felt like I didn't belong yet. And then finally, you know, time came around where then the group representative position was open and they asked me if I'd be willing. And I, at that point, I felt like, I felt like I was a part of it more so than when I was just attending meetings. And so I like that idea of sense of belonging. And I like that what I heard tonight that I learned as in, a, you know, service is a process, just like our recovery is a process. Each position that I've held has helped me learn to let go of some of my character defects and to utilize the assets that my higher power has shown me I have. And I agree with other people when they said that to allow your higher power to kind of direct. It used to be I'd take on service positions because I thought I'd be better than the last person who did it. And I have come to realize that everybody who does service has something to offer. And I now recognize that what I offer is just part of a whole composite of what other people offer. So I like that sense of belonging that you talked about right in the start, Ricky, that really just honed in because that's what service means to me. Being a part of and participating with everybody else. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Okay, well, we're just about out of time. And I will now turn the meeting back over to our chairperson, Flo Ann.
So we're going to close with the Al-Anon Declaration. So let it begin with me.
With me. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and Al-Anon always be there.
And let it begin with me.